Okay, the next presentation is by Northwatch as outlined in CMDs 19-H100.6 and 19-H100.6A. I understand that Ms. Brennan Lloyd is joining us for this presentation. Ms. Lloyd?
Yes, thank you. I'm here.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Over to you then.
Thank you. So thank you for your decision to hold the public hearing on the DSRC decommissioning license application. My name is Brene Lloyd, and I'm associated with Northwatch. We're a regional organization in northeastern Ontario. And true to form, my battery is running low, so I have to slide over and plug in. So excuse me for that. Next slide, please. Next slide, please.
We're trying.
Okay, great. Thank you. So the proposed license amendment would authorize SRC to decommission the facility. There was some ambiguity in the documents as to whether the removal of the reactor core and its transportation from the facility was part of the operating license or part of the decommissioning license. That was certainly clarified today with the news that that reactor core has already been shipped to Savannah River. The primary documents Northwatch relied upon in this review were the commission member documents by both the licensee and CNSC staff's environmental protection review, the decommissioning plan prepared by SNC-Lavalin, and the decommissioning waste management plan, with some reference to additional documents. Throughout the documents, much of the information was provided in a similar format, sometimes so similar it was repeated wording in several documents, but there were also some important inconsistencies between the document, and we did identify some of those in section 5 of our report. Next slide, please. So Northwatch's interest as a regional organization in Northern Ontario is in those, primarily in those issues which are going to potentially impact on our region and our membership and our area of concern most directly, that being the transport of radioactive waste through Northern Ontario. We're also very concerned about the continued practice of transferring high-level radioactive waste and other radioactive waste across international borders from Canada to the US. We do understand the agreement that it is made under. It is still a matter of concern. We're also very concerned with the setting of precedents in CNSC decision-making, and particularly at this juncture in time, decommissioning decisions. Next slide, please. So with respect to radioactive waste management, there were important information deficiencies throughout the document, and some inconsistencies. We're also very concerned with the in-situ waste disposal. I believe it was Ms. Tadros objected to the language of abandonment. We'll certainly be interested to hear her views on in-situ disposal, which is what SNC-Lavalin on the behalf of SRC is proposing for the reactor pool. There were a number of difficulties. There's no debate around a decommissioning project generating waste, but there were several areas of contention with this proposal: the quality of information and planning, the robustness of the plan in terms of its exercise of precautionary principle, and the degree to which the plan has optimized protection of health and the environment. One of the things we found challenging with the contractor SNC-Lavalin's method of presenting information was it rather swung back and forth between, from our perspective, highly technical to highly generalized. And we didn't quite find that middle path where the information was comprehensive, clearly presented, and referenced. And in some cases, we found that there were questions around the reliability of the information. And we presented in our submission one example of that, and that's from the slope of decommissioning waste management plan. And if you look to page 24, table one, the lower reactor container irradiation tubes are identified as being placed in, oh, I just lost my page, to be placed in a shielding container, generally speaking, identified as low-level waste, but to be placed in a shielding container. And generally speaking, low-level waste does not require shielding. Then if you move on, then in table one, the shim tray is identified as intermediate level waste. Irradiation tubes are identified as low level waste. But in table C2 of the same document, the shim tray is identified as having a lower level of radioactivity than the irradiation tubes. These to us just read as inconsistencies. They put the reliability of the information in question. We didn't have technical experts assisting us in this review, but they certainly, those kinds of examples raised questions for us. The in-situ, the proposal for in-situ disposal, we share the concerns identified by other interveners. We also take issue with some of the statements made by SNC-Lavalin and CNSC staff today. For example, SNC-Lavalin, CANDU Energy, made a remark, I believe it was them, made the remark to the effect that they would be, the degree to which they would be measuring, taking measures or monitoring of the facility, and they, I think, used the term every square inch. As I recall the documents, and specifically with respect to the reactor pool, there were going to be five samples in the pool, four in a row on the floor, and one in the wall. That doesn't coincide for me with this claim of measuring every square inch. I also, in the discussion around the University of Alberta in-situ disposal of the reactor pool, I really was taken aback by, I believe it was Monsieur Tanguay and Ms. Tadro, putting to you, Madam President, that there was no associated increased risk between 0.5 and 0.54. If there's no difference between 0.5 and 0.54, what about between 0.5 and 0.6, between 0.5 and 0.7? When is a rule a rule? I also was surprised, I believe I heard them tell you in response to your question, that no contamination was left in place in the University of Alberta, and that is inconsistent with what I read in the record of decision for the University of Alberta. So I think that we have recommended that there be hold points put in this license decision, and I think that is an example of where we really very much would benefit from the commission having a hold point in this decision. Radioactive waste transport, if we can have the next slide, please. So a number of issues were raised for us in radioactive waste transport, lack of required information, not meeting the licensing requirements, the overall lack of availability of information, some documents available, some documents denied. The dose estimates were provided for the facility, but there were no dose estimates that we were able to identify, certainly not in the detailed decommissioning plan, which provided dose estimates for during decommissioning, including removal and of the reactor components and auxiliary components. But no dose estimates were provided for transportation activities. And those are, in fact, part of the proposed decommissioning approach. We have, next slide, please. We have a particular concern about the transportation impacts, potential impacts in Northern Ontario with the shipments through Northern Ontario. And we included in our submission a summary of some work that we had done with the support of the Ontario Law Foundation in 2017 and 2018. And in a nutshell, what we found there was that there was a real gap in training and education for first responders. And our particular interest is in first responders in rural and remote locations. Those are largely local service boards, small municipalities. There was a real gap in their training, and there was no training provided specific to radiological events, with the exception of what is included in the emergency reference guide. The 2018 emergency response guidebook was the go-to response resource that many people in our interviews referenced. It's a 400-page guide. They've got 11 pages dealing with six different groupings of radioactive material. And we were concerned, we found it disconcerting that each of those sections began with a statement, radiation presents minimal risk to transport workers, emergency response personnel, and the public during transportation accidents. There was not a similar statement in front of the other sections dealing with other hazardous toxic chemical materials. And we found it disconcerting, to say the least, that that is really most of the training and education available to first responders in rural and remote communities in Northern Ontario. And we think it's misleading. That coupled then with the absence of a radioactive waste transportation plan, the omission of transportation emergencies from the emergency response plan, they present, in our view, the real potential for first responders in rural communities and remote locations during transportation route accidents to be put particularly at risk. Next slide, please. So additional issues, and there were many of them, and I perhaps in questions we can come back to some of the issues raised around planned release of radiological materials, namely waste to the landfill, liquid to the sewer treatment plant. But I want to focus in one that's particularly important to us, and that is around the duty to consult. Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission staff determined that there was no duty to consult. It's as if they drew a line around the facility and didn't look beyond it, certainly didn't look at the transportation aspects of this activity, licensed activity. And the transportation has potential to adversely affect Aboriginal and treaty rights and Indigenous people along the route. The shipping for the shipments to Savannah River have already taken place, would go through Treaty 6 and Treaty 4 territories. The shipments for the low and intermediate level waste that are destined to Chalk River would go through Treaty 4 and Treaty 6, but also through Treaty 3, Treaty 9, and we don't know the route yet, so either Robinson-Huron or Robinson-Superior treaty areas in Northern Ontario. And we take exception to there having been no duty to consult acknowledged and exercised with respect to Indigenous peoples in Northern Ontario. And certainly Anishinaabeg Nation, who represent Robinson-Huron and Robinson-Superior treaty areas, have gone on record fairly recently with the commission identifying their concerns. And I think that this was a real shortcoming and an unacceptable shortcoming in the conduct of this review. Next slide, please. So I'll just quickly go through our conclusions, which are all stated in terms of requests to the commission. So we request that the commission take a number of actions, the first being that have SRC or their contractor fill the information gaps that have been identified not only by Northwatch, but by other interveners and I believe in the course of today's proceedings by the commission itself. The second is to create a hold point to the license conditions. So the commission itself reviews the radiological survey results for the reactor pool floor and the wall. And the decision is made by a multi-member panel. I think that the University of Alberta, pleased to hear, will have lessons learned included in the end state report. I think the end state report should be part of the commission's considerations at a hold point hearing. to really ensure that this in-situ disposal is of a reactor pool that is not highly radiologically contaminated, or even minimally radiologically contaminated. Next slide, please. We request that there be an augmented sampling plan for the reactor pool floor and the walls. We don't think that four in a line on the floor and one in the wall is enough information to support a determination on whether clearance levels have been met or will be met. We also request that the commission require SRC to meet the information requirements related to transportation risks prior to giving them further consideration to the SRC application. So that could also be in the same whole point hearing. Next slide, please. And we request that the decision in your decision, the commission clarify and confirm decommissioning activities such as removal, shipping of reactor fuel waste are to be undertaken only under a decommissioning license, not under a reactor operating license. So this might require looking at other operating licenses, something which we haven't undertaken.